Welcome to Turn of Events, a Social Tables podcast about events and the people that make them happen. In each episode, we'll feature stories about planning successes and mishaps, industry innovations, and the people behind the scenes who provide the energy of every event. On today's episode, the theme is everything you need to know about AV, and we're joined by the founder of Endless Entertainment, Will Curran.
Today, we are joined by Will Curran of Endless Entertainment. And Will, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so, where do I start, I guess? So I currently live in Phoenix, Arizona, or also known as the hottest place in the entire world. But I also spend about half my time also living in airplanes and hotels, traveling the country and the world, presenting and talking about AV, producing large-scale events, and, you know, just doing really epic things when it comes to AV.
What is the last epic thing that you've done when it comes to AV?
Oh my gosh. So we actually, I just got back from Miami, Florida, where we were doing the AV for the Global Student Entrepreneur Award. So for those who don't know, I actually founded Endless Entertainment, and I started my own company when I was in high school. And so I competed in this competition 3 years ago. Well, eventually I came back and said, I want to keep giving back and do the AV for the event. And basically imagine the top entrepreneurs from all over the country who has all started their companies while in college. So really, really cool event, and just get to see some really awesome entrepreneurship. So that was a really fun event. I literally just got back from a couple weeks ago.
And would you say it was a success?
Oh, hugely successful. I mean, it was a ton of fun. And, you know, we ended up picking our national champion for to represent the United States at the global finals, which is where they'll compete in Bangkok in Thailand. So, you know, it's one of those events where the presentation has to go absolutely flawlessly because these kids have spent hours and hours and, you know, months and months preparing for this presentation. And, you know, there's a lot of money and a lot of importance on the line. And yeah, it was hugely successful. Went off without a hitch.
So today's theme is everything you need to know about AV. So say you're brand new to the industry. What are 3 to 5 things that you think every event planner needs to be aware of or needs to ask about when planning AV for their very first event?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of times I think AV can be very confusing and scary for most planners. And it's kind of unfortunate because, I mean, AV is just so exciting. There's so much great technology out there and it can be used to really amplify your event and take it to the next level. But when it gets scary, I think a lot of people kind of retreat into this zone of not sure what to do. So I think one really, really big thing that you can do, and I think that a lot of planners think that they have to do the opposite. They think that, oh, I have to come off confident, like I know everything, and you know, otherwise I'm going to get ripped off or someone's going to take advantage of me. But I think one of the biggest things you can ever do is just ask a lot of questions. If you're not sure what something is, or you don't know how this is going to impact your event, or why this cost is coming in here, or you know, if you have questions about anything, I really hope that you would take the time to just take a minute and ask a question that you would want the answer to. You know, what is this, you know, VRX 932 LAP and how is it going to make my event better? Well, and then the AV company, if they're really taking care of you, should be willing and able to explain what that is. Oh, hey, yeah, the VRX is a speaker. It's going to be used for, you know, this size room. We recommend it. We use it at all of our events. It's used for concerts, you know, all those things like that. They should be able to explain it in really layman's terms. Also, when you ask questions, you're also going to get to learn a lot more about AV. So then that way, the next event that comes up, you don't have to ask as many questions. You know exactly what you're doing. Also, it gives you the power in your hands to make the right decisions that are best for your event. You know, I definitely believe that AV companies should be your partner and you should trust them. But unfortunately, you know, like all businesses, there are some people out there that are definitely not on your side and might be trying to take advantage of you. So, you know, being able to know about AV allows you to have the power. So then that way you can make the right decisions when it comes to your AV. So ask questions, and your AV company should definitely be willing to help and explain when it comes to layman's terms. I think that's probably one of the number one things that we see and that you need to definitely know when planning your AV. The next thing you definitely have to understand as well is that the technology between companies varies very widely. So for example, what we might use for one speaker at our company might be a little bit different for another company. However, there's a lot of basic things that you can understand when it comes to AV that's very, very common across all places. For example, types of speakers, types of lighting, how it all kind of works together. One of my favorite resources out there for the industry that I totally recommend is Event Leadership Institute has a class taught by Brant Cougar called Technical Meeting and Events Production. And Brant basically explains all the basics when it comes to AV and the things that you're going to need to utilize when it comes to your AV. I highly recommend that class if you're looking to learn more about AV and how it all gets brought together. So definitely make sure that you understand a little bit of the basics when it comes to AV, when it comes to everything around that, basically. And then I think if you're talking about the last, if I pick three top things, I think knowing that the technology is not there just to serve a purpose of showing a presentation or making sure your speakers are heard. I mean, that's great. That's like the basics of it. But really, AV and production can be really used to amplify the energy at your event and take it to the next level. So a lot of times when you're planning your event, be sure to ask, say, hey, this is really great. We have our screens, we have our speakers, we have our microphones, all the basics that you would need for a, you know, a basic corporate event. But maybe ask, okay, what else can we do that's kind of cool that kind of brings this up? What cool new technologies do you have that would make this event run smoother? You know, sometimes it's a matter of bringing in some extra cool lighting. Sometimes it's about bringing in some extra video content. You know, there's a lot of really great things out there when it comes to technology that can really amplify your event. And I think some of the biggest and greatest events are all known for using AV in creative and exciting ways to take their events to the next level.
So you alluded to this. You mentioned that there are sometimes companies out there that are out to just get your money.
Unfortunately,
they exist everywhere. What would you say is a red flag that a planner should be aware of when they're selecting an AV company or a partner at an event?
That's a really great question. I mean, there's tons of red flags when it comes to it. A lot of them, you know, like for example, when we are working with clients, we see this little small things here and there. But if there's one big gigantic thing that I've seen as a red flag that can really, really scare me as a planner myself as well, is that if the AV company is not asking you about your goals and your bigger, larger picture ideas when it comes to your event. A lot of times AV companies, it's really easy to be commoditized and say, oh, I just need a couple speakers and a couple microphones and this and that. And that's really, really great if you just want to get, if you know exactly what you're talking about, you know exactly what you need to bring your vision to life. But sometimes take a step back and say, hey, here are my goals. This is what I'm looking for. And if they're not asking you about those things, a lot of times you're just going to get equipment off a truck, a technician who's just worked another show. It's going to be very like turnkey and, you know, not very, very, aligned with what you're trying to do. However, when they talk about your goals, you know, if you're saying, hey, we just need a couple wireless microphones and, you know, turns out we need five handheld microphones. Well, it turns out that if I talk to you about your goals, it turns out that those presenters you're going to have on stage, it's really about the TED Talk experience that you're trying to create, let's say. And a lot of times, handheld microphones might not work. So I want to make sure that I have lapel microphones or earpiece microphones for you guys. So a lot of times just talking about the goals of your events and your dreams and your vision can allow me to pick the right equipment and the right staffing to really take your event to the next level. So really make sure that your AV company is asking you about your goals, what you're trying to accomplish, and not just becoming an order taker for you. Because sometimes that can lead for things to get missing. And sometimes, you know, when the big vision isn't brought together, you sometimes get a little disappointed where things are kind of going with your relationship with your AV company for sure.
So I'm sure that you guys work in lots of different venues and spaces and properties that you've never been to before.
Yeah.
And how does not knowing the kind of space that you'll be in affect how you deliver AV?
Well, I think it definitely depends for sure. I mean, we are a nationwide event production company, so we're literally on every corner of the United States. Like I said, I just came back from Miami. We've done stuff in Chicago. I was just in Banff, Canada. So literally like everywhere you go. And there's a lot of times, yeah, where because we are all over the place, we haven't been inside of a venue for sure. However, I think there's a lot of really awesome, great technologies out there that allow us to circumvent that. So, for example, a lot of sites and great you know, locations have three-dimensional CAD designs that they can give us of their venues, or, you know, the basic dimensions of the room and where everything's going to be. And we can use technology like CADs, computer-assisted designs, to basically map out what the room's going to look like in three dimensions and really see where is that light going to go and how's it going to look when we turn it on and point it this direction, which is really great for us visualizing it. And I think at a basic level, I mean, I guess I'll give you guys kind of a shout out. I love what Social Tables is doing because it, for a basic level, you know, computer-assisted designs can definitely get very complex and you need, you know, a very great designer, you know, someone on our staff, for example. That's all they do is create these computer-assisted designs for our clients. However, with Social Tables, someone can go in, plug in their venue, say where it is, and kind of place things around. And I think being able to make sure that everyone's on the same page when it comes to things is the most important part. Not necessarily, is the roof going to be, you know, 10 feet tall, this and that. That's great for making sure that we make sure everything fits. But a lot of times it has to come down to collaboration around the site layouts. You know, saying, okay, this is where we're planning on putting the screens. Is this where you were planning on putting the screens? Because, you know, every once in a while, everyone's had it where the AV company comes in doing one thing. They need this much, you know, distance between the projector and the screen. They are planning on doing front projection rather than rear projection. You know, all these different details. And it affects the site layout hugely because, you know, for all you know, you're like, oh, I want to put a table right there. And you can't because we put a projector there. So making sure you collaborate, I think, when it comes to site visit is very, very important. And making sure that you utilize technology to really get that a good idea of what it's going to look like before you get inside. Also making sure that you ask the right questions of the venue and the AV company. You know, one big thing that's always seemed to be overlooked is ceiling height. You know, for example, if we are planning on building something that's going to be 11 feet tall and there's only 10-foot ceilings, obviously that creates a little bit of an issue when it comes to all the layouts and everything like that. However, I think that with a company like us, because we're distributed, we're all over the country, you know, we're traveling a lot. There's a lot of really great technologies out there, though, that allow us to not have to actually visit the space in order to pull off an event and know what it's going to look like going into it.
Do you have any crazy AV snafus that you can share with us? I know you probably have tons. Lots of good stories. What can you share with us?
Oh, man. Well, trying to think of a recent snafu more than anything. One of my interesting stories is that we were working with a venue that was one of those more unique venues. You know, it wasn't a hotel venue. It was actually a college campus, and they were planning on utilizing the in-house AV, the projectors, and some of the in-house audio paired with, you know, our lighting, our sound. And, you know, they just want to save a little bit of money doing this sort of thing. Well, the issue was the venue had said, oh, yeah, you know, since it's a college campus, we use our projectors all the time. We use this all the time. Well, we came in, set up the venue. We literally were testing everything the night before, and none of the projectors worked. Nothing they said was going to work worked, basically. And after we had talked to the students, they go, oh, yeah, this stuff hasn't worked for, like, months. And it turns out the venue had kind of just, because they were getting the venue for cheaper and everything like that, they had no idea. There was a big disconnect between the technology portion. So a lot of times making sure that everything works way before we got there, because the client felt really bad because they said, you know, man, if we had just known that this wasn't going to work, we would have just used Endless for everything. But instead we were banking on the in-house, you know, system to work perfectly. So sometimes just be careful if you're trying to cut corners and save costs, because sometimes that can lead to really, you know, deadly results for sure and big snafus on the day of. Long story short, we made it end up working. We bypassed like their in-house system, ran cables up through the ceilings, and, you know, we ended up making it all work. But, you know, it was definitely, it was a close call for sure. And you just want to make sure that you obviously have that all taken care of.
So those are some snafus. I'm sure there are lots of AV success stories that you can share. And of course, I was looking at Endless's website yesterday, and I saw that you all have worked with some pretty big names. For example, I know you all have worked with The Color Run. You've done the Phoenix Comic Con. Can you tell us about some of the experiences in running AV for some of those events?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to a lot of events, I mean, that's a great thing is we have a lot of diversity in a lot of the events that we have done. So, for example, I'll start with Phoenix Comic Con. They're a massive event. You know, I think something like 70,000 people this past year. Humongous event. They have a big gigantic general session with, you know, 4,000 people in it, bringing in the biggest stars from television, movies, and everything like that. But then they also, the most interesting thing about their event, and this might drive some meeting planners nuts when they hear this number, but they had 55 breakout rooms. And I'm not lying, 55 breakout rooms. So you can imagine managing 55 rooms simultaneously. It's like 55 events happening simultaneously throughout the course of the 3 days that's going on. So really, really interesting story behind that is that we had to develop a really awesome communication system and a way to manage all of the different rooms. I don't want to give away too many secrets, but you know, when it came to 55 rooms, that sounds like insane, but we really handled it really well, where we were literally solving issues within 30 seconds of them being called over the radio, which was really, really great and really important to the client, was just making sure everything was taken care of 100%. And if you watch the videos on our website about Phoenix Comic Con, the clients tell the stories about how we were really there for us, and you know, we're really big on customer service at our events. So making sure that we were there at a moment's notice whenever someone needs something, and then sometimes going a little bit above and beyond and saying, like, carrying around, for example, we carried around packs of gum. So whenever our clients were kind of just hanging out, we were just kind of talking, we're like, hey, by the way, you want a piece of gum? They're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much, it's amazing. Or, you know, offering them a bottle of water because they haven't had a chance to sit down yet. So, you know, when it comes to an event that big, making sure that you have customer service is really huge. The Color Run was also really an awesome client to work with. You can imagine the funny part of that story. I mean, for those who don't know, the Color Run is this event where at the start and checkpoints, they throw this powdered color stuff all over each other, and it's absolutely crazy and amazing to watch. Well, the one thing that we did for them is we have a big stage for them at the end of the run. And you can imagine where basically at this stage, every 5 minutes or so, everyone has these packs of powdered color are throwing them up in the air, and they're doing this every 5 minutes for the course of like 3 hours. So by the end of the day, your stuff is absolutely covered in this powdery stuff, and you're like literally like it's all colorful, and you know, cleaning the equipment afterwards. I mean, we are aware of how it was, but we were cleaning color off of our stage for I'd say like, you know, weeks after every single run that we were doing with them. But just an absolutely fun event to do, and just the energy and the excitement that everyone had while being there was just absolutely great.
Did that ruin any of your equipment, or is that sort of part of the deal that when you all are providing AV that some speakers may come back not working or...
Luckily, no. So we go in knowing exactly what's about to happen. So, you know, we've done events in the rain. We've done them in, you know, crazy, crazy conditions before. So, you know, we just prepare it the same way that we do with those. So, you know, covering a lot of things up in plastic, making sure that when we're running the audio board, that we're keeping that away from the powdery stuff. So, and then doing things like using covers and being really, really prepared beforehand really helps when it comes to making sure that, yeah, you're very, 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 very expensive speakers are not damaged from this color powdered stuff.
And have you ever had a situation where there was an event that you attended just as an attendee and then thought to yourself, how cool would it be if we got to do AV for Comic-Con? And then just made the leap and then kind of went after the business that way. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
When we got our first Comic-Con client, and now we do them all over the country, when we were doing the first one, I just couldn't believe that, you know, we were producing this event with, you know, 55 breakout rooms, 4,000 people general session, 6 parties, and just watching it all on happen, it was definitely a very, very surreal moment. It was just absolutely amazing. And then the best part about it is watching the client's reaction afterwards and being like them seeing how much value they got from working with you, and you weren't just a commoditized piece of equipment or just labor to them. You literally made their experience way better. Was just absolutely astonishing, for sure.
Have you ever gotten any weird requests from an AV perspective, either a Comic-Con or the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl? Has there been anything weird that a client has requested from you all? You mentioned confetti cannons, which seems kind of crazy to me, but I would love that.
That's not too crazy, actually. Yeah. Believe it or not, confetti isn't. I will give a story about Kesha at Northern Arizona University. Mm-hmm. Kesha was basically doing this big concert at Northern Arizona State University, staging, lighting, sound, video staging, you know, all that stuff like that taken care of. Well, one of the things that was requested off of her rider was a gigantic, what's the thing called where you're hitting it with the bat and you're trying to break it open?
Oh, a pinata.
Pinata, yes. She wanted a gigantic pinata, like bigger than my desk, basically, because she wanted to hang it from the stage and at halfway through the concert, like, just go and hit it and blow it up with candy and everything like that. So, believe it or not, Northern Arizona State University is inside this kind of small town 2 hours outside of Phoenix called Flagstaff, and there was no place to buy a pinata. So, the one of the students had to go down all the way down to Phoenix to go get a pinata and then bring it all the way back. Basically made this 4-hour drive to go. Drives up, and unfortunately, right as they drive up, they're like, "We got your pinata." She goes, "Oh, we brought one from the tour. We had one left over from last night."
What?
So yeah, if you've ever seen Kesha and Kanye, she got some crazy stuff going on. So that's one of the most interesting requests for sure that we've ever gotten. The one thing that amazes me is the amount of technology, the way people are kind of like, you know, we're constantly working with technology, you know, oh, we have to make sure we have the newest adapters for the newest laptops, make sure that we have iPads for, you know, iPad people to hook up and everything like that. We're usually on top of it, but every once in a while you get this one person who shows up with like a Windows 98 laptop and is like, "Hey, can I hook this up?" And we're like, "Oh, VHS. We got asked if we could play a VHS once." Yeah, that was like very recent too as well, and that kind of blew my mind.
What was the VHS of?
It was just like they had this clip they wanted to show, and I guess they just had never converted it over. So like, yeah, we need to make sure that we have a VHS player. I will tell you, it was like so difficult to find a VHS player. I think we ended up going like trying to find it in like an old folks town home and be like, "Does anyone have a VHS player?"
Or maybe even going to like a thrift store or something like that.
There you go.
They'd probably just give it away.
Exactly,
you can have it for future clients.
Like, we're trying to get rid of this VHS, this ancient technology.
Hey, maybe VHS tapes will come back just like records have.
You never know. I don't know. I mean, vinyl sounds better than, you know, MP3s. At least that's what everyone's argument is. I don't know if VHS ever looked as good as our Blu-rays and our like 4K TVs that we have now.
That's true. I don't know how it would feel about a VHS tape being played on like a big screen curved TV. Yeah. I don't know. That would really give it that vintage feel.
Hey, Samsung, we're going to do a big brand activation for you, but the content's all on VHS.
So what is coming in the AV world? What technology? You've talked about the technology we should not really use at an event, aka VHS tapes. So what's big? What should we be aware of? I know that virtual reality is a big thing, a big talk in the events world. Is there anything that you're predicting that will be huge?
Yeah, I mean, definitely virtual reality is really big right now. I mean, especially because this last 3 months or so, there's been a bunch of releases of 360-degree cameras that are very affordable. For example, Samsung has one coming out. I was recently playing around with, I believe it's called Ricoh, to have this $350 360 camera. It looks great. It's awesome. Obviously, there's small improvements they can make to it. But with the cost of capturing 360 video going down, I think we're going to now see an uprise in all those headsets and people wanting them. For the first time ever, I heard someone said, "Hey, I was watching a 360 video and I thought to myself, man, I really wish I had a virtual reality, you know, Gear VR headset." And that was the first time I heard someone say it casually in a conversation. So I think we're definitely going to see a lot more of it. A lot of brand activations. We're getting requests for it all the time. How can we integrate virtual reality to utilize it for our brands and, you know, doing these awesome experiences? There's definitely a lot of VR stuff coming around, and we've been getting a ton of requests and projects for it as well. However, I'll go a little bit more away from things that people aren't really always thinking about. So, for example, I think we're seeing an even more gain and you know, excitement for great content at events, specifically when it comes to doing things like away from the traditional two screens on the side that are either 4:3 aspect ratio or 16:9 widescreen aspect ratio, to more things like triple wide screens that are very, very wide and are like almost like three screens put together, to things like projection mapping, to doing more unique content and sizes of screens for sure. And I think that the more that cost to develop that content and the more that people are willing to do that, the better the attendee experience is going to be. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm really sick of going to a conference that just has two screens on either side, a typical boring PowerPoint. But I love those conferences where, you know, they have these amazing projection mapping and these crazy things, and it goes away from becoming a presentation and almost becomes this visual show that you're going to. I think that's just becoming more and more and more popular. It's not new, but I just think it's getting more traction in the AV world as well. I think that we're also seeing this cost of doing more digital technology going down as well. So for example, this isn't, again, really, really new, but we're seeing more and more of it, is that, for example, one of my favorite technologies, and it sounds so small and so stupid, you know, it's nothing exciting like virtual reality or great projection mapping or anything like that, but there's actually these soundboards now that are 100% controlled by iPad. And it's, you might say to yourself, well, wow, how's that exciting? Well, what's great about it is these soundboards, where you're plugging all your microphones into your iPods, your laptops, everything like that to control, we can stick that entire soundboard under stage, and then we can go around with an iPad from those 55 breakout rooms, and we can control them all from one iPad. So then that way, we don't have to, you know, sneak to the side of the stage, or we don't have to run cables all the way around so we can have that board in the back of the room so it has easy access to it. But instead, the audio technician can run room to room and just adjust the audio very, very quickly as well. And when they're all digital, you can do things like, for example, put limiters for feedback and things like that as well. Really, really, really awesome stuff. And I think that there's just a lot of small improvements that are happening inside the technology for AV that is allowing the AV guys to do our jobs easier. But then again, it's giving you a better experience for sure.
Great. And then is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'm trying to think if there's anything I want to add. I think one thing that a lot of planners aren't doing as much, and I think that, you know, this is a really game-changing mentality, and you know, a lot of times when I explain it to people a little bit further, at first they go, well, that doesn't make any sense, why would I want to do that? But then when I explain a little bit further, they go, oh, okay, that totally makes sense. And it's the idea that you should involve your vendors before they should be involved as soon as possible. I think a lot of times when we're planning events, I mean, we did surveys across so many different planners, and we asked, what's the number one thing you do first? And the first thing they do is obviously idea generate and come up with like what their theme's going to be, what dates, what they want this to look like, their vision. But then the second thing they always do, and it's, I mean, it's overwhelmingly high, is they go and select their venue. And I'm not against you starting to try to find your venues, but I think a lot of times what ends up happening is people follow this kind of linear event planning process that they go, okay, idea generate, find the venue, get your vendors, integrate your vendors and get them closed as they're kind of coming together. And, you know, it's, for example, AV is one of the things that always gets kind of forgotten at the end. And I think that it's really dangerous to do that these days. We're in a time where there's a lot of really interesting things happening between relationships with in-house companies and hotels that is making it really difficult for planners to have the power to select what vendors they want to work with. And not only pick what vendors they want to work with, but also making sure that they're getting a good deal and that they are getting the appropriate costs associated with that. A lot of times I just hear these horror stories about how they selected their venue and then realize, oh my gosh, I wanted to work with XYZ company because they've done every single one of our conferences and I trust them, but now I'm having to pay an extra, you know, 20, 30, 40, sometimes 100% more because I want to use this out-of-house AV company. And I think what's interesting about involving your vendor is not only from, you know, me as a selfish standpoint, I want us to be able to get in sooner so then that way you can work with us. But I think a lot of times your vendors come with just so much wealth of knowledge of how to do things that they can actually help you pick the right venue and not have to let you do all the decision making on your own. So for example, I might come into this hotel and say, oh, look at how long the process is for us to get it from the truck all the way up to the room. You don't want to be in this hotel because even though how amazing the Drake Hotel is, I still love the Drake, is that you know, if you're not wanting to spend that extra money on the labor to in order to get done, or if you have a really tight timeline where you have to be set up in 3 hours, you know, you aren't going to want to utilize that venue. And you probably wouldn't have even thought about that unless we had been there. So I think it's really, really important to involve your vendors really early in the conversation so they can help you. And here's the worst comes to worst. You don't have to sign a contract. I'm not saying pick your AV company right then and there, but just say, hey, I'm interested in working with you, Endless. I'm picking my venues right now. Can you come down to a couple site surveys? And I'm going to always 100% say yes. I'd love to come to your site surveys and see what I can do to help, because I'm going to be able to give you added value, and then you're going to see that value and say, I want to work with you. And I find that anyone who wants to add value is always going to be a great partner for you for sure. So I think sometimes flipping the script when it comes to planning your events, looking at it a little bit differently and involving your vendors earlier rather than later, I think can really change your process, take off a lot of stress, and also delegate a lot of the thought process to other people.
Well, Will, thank you so much for being here today with us on episode 1 of Turn of Events.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. And then do you have any recommended reading or any other resources for our listeners today?
Oh my gosh, I have so many resources. So I think that, like I said earlier, definitely check out ELI's Technical Meeting and Production course. It's absolutely phenomenal. Great basis of understanding basics. But, you know, I definitely want to give a little bit of a shameless plug to Endless. So we are Endless Entertainment. We actually, one of our big things is I'm all about educating planners to give you that power so you can make the right decisions when it comes to your AV. And one of the ways that we do that is we write a ton of content. So not only do we have our blog where we're literally spilling out all of our secrets about the AV industry and what you need to know and how we work and how you can get the most of your AV bang for your buck and making sure you can take your event to the next level, but we also write a ton of ebooks and do a ton of webinars as well. So if you're really wanting to learn more about AV and make you more powerful for taking your events to the next level, if you just head over to endless.com. So it's www.helloendless.com. You can head over there and we have a resources tab. You can literally click that and get some awesome stuff. So for example, one of my favorite resources right now is that we talked a little bit about how venues are starting to put these restrictions on using outside AV vendors or even catering vendors or sometimes even decor vendors. But we created this awesome thing called How to Remove In-House AV Restrictions. And it talks all about the fees and things like that you might get placed on. And it includes this chunk that you can put in your RFP and in your contract to basically allow you to choose whatever AV company. And you can also use this for catering, decor, whatever you'd like to make sure whatever vendor you want to work with, you can utilize them without having any restrictions on it. It's completely free for you to download and literally just go check it out. I love that resource. And we've heard a ton of great things about how much money it saved clients, literally tens of thousands of dollars because of this. So I highly recommend checking out that guide. And then, of course, if you guys ever have any questions at all, if you head over to the website, you can find all my contact information. You can find me on social media. Find us all on social media. But feel free to head over to helloendless.com and, you know, let us know if there's any way we can ever help. And we'd always just love to talk to you and, you know, give you more value and help you guys out when it comes to planning your events.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. That was great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura.
Tune into the next episode where we'll introduce another meetings and events innovator behind the scenes who provides the energy of every event. Until next time.